Hallelujah. This month, we've had a very interesting month. We've looked at the series called Believers What?
Conduct.
And before we go into what we have, so I told us something in our last Wednesday teaching. I said, if you have any questions concerning believers' conduct, I'm going to pay attention to that first of all today. And from there, we'll look at, use the remaining time to do whatever we have to do today. So does anyone have any question about believers' conduct? Believers' conduct is a series we started in February, and we just said some very basic a few things about how, no matter the message we preach about believers' conduct, our convictions must be deepened about our eternal state. Yeah. So any message we preach that makes you scared of your eternal state in Christ Jesus, you know, is a message that troubles the heart, which is a message that Paul says we should set aside. Yeah. Then we say believers' conduct. In Galatians now 3:5 shows us, Galatians 5, he says, 13 really, he says that we should not use this liberty of us as an occasion to walk in the flesh or do the things of fleshly, you know, the things our flesh wants and all of that, but we should by love serve one another. And we said that love is a litmus test that determines the actions we do or not. Yeah. So the question in your heart is not, what should I do? Does the Bible say I should take 10 cups of this or 10 cups of this or 10 puffs of this? Or, you know, question. New Testament books do not give answers to that. Yeah, but New Testament books gives answers to that. Yeah. And we see that the love of God is the foundation for every action we take. You know, truth is, some things I will say, but not today. Yeah. So if you have any question, let me start with you. I asked all of us to send our questions to me over the week so we don't have to take time asking who has a question. You see, okay, if you think I've answered your question now, but you still need clarity, ask me, let me make it clear to you. If you have a question, let me see your hand. Let me see your hands. Not your two, but just one of them. If you have a question, if you met me before the meeting of the beginning of this series and you have a question, reach out to me. Raise your hand. Let's hear your question. If you met me before the beginning of this series, and you had a question, your question has not been answered, or you want to bring clarity to the answer to your question, let me see your hands. Let's answer questions. You know, church, truth is, the church is a Bible school. Is that true? The church is a Bible school. So it means that if we're going to be in a school setting, it means that we should have room for questions. Because a lot of people will still have unanswered questions in their heart. Saints should have conversations among themselves. Yeah? It's God's word. Yeah, I'm not shy to go back and correct things I have taught. I'm not scared about that. That's one of the least issues I can possibly have. I'm not scared to recorrect or to give a better understanding of what I have taught before. You know, but just so that we just, you know, get ourselves sharpened. I always like having interesting conversations about doctrine with people, because first of all, as a pastor, it makes me see how you think. It makes me see what the effect of God's word on your heart, in your heart, in your way of thinking and all of that. So let's ask questions. Number one, I know that once the first person asks questions, it will flow. Yeah? So everybody now looking at me, they're looking for the number one. Who will break the ice? You have a question? Please come forward. And please let your question be quite a question. And so you don't have to come and appreciate me first. You get? Yeah. So don't come and appreciate me first for the things God is doing in my life and all. They will give you a microphone, yeah? Why are you laughing? It's true now.
My question is,
I love that.
About believers' conduct. Mm-hmm. When you're teaching, I think one of these days, I think, and that was on Sunday, so you were actually talking or teaching regarding dresses and everything. So, and to me, that, like, I found that day interesting. Mm. Like, all your teaching is interesting. So, but that's very... So, now...
Bracky has to be Bracky.
Yeah.
We cannot
so
stop you.
Now, my question is about the issue of dresses. Mm-hmm. Personally, as a believer, as you taught that day, that if somebody come to ask you that, okay, I'm going out, should I wear this kind of thing? So that you will ask the person, what would love to? Now, is it wrong for a believer, for me, a believer now, if I have a brother, maybe one of our brothers in church, or maybe he's not even in church, so that I'm close to, that maybe he's dressing in such a way that maybe I it's not that I'm condemning him, but I just like, look, bro, like people, people, you know, people are looking at us. Like, we are like the Bible or the epistle that people read. So that, is he, please, this and this, please. Can you check it out? So is it wrong for me to do that personally? Like, approach somebody and maybe a sister. Maybe I discover.
That's what you're going to. I know you well now. That's what you're really going to. You came out. That's good.
I don't really say sister, but I think maybe. So.
Yeah. So his question is: Can you see a fellow believer and tell them that what you are wearing is a little over the bar? Is that your question? Yeah, can you? You know, in the real sense, it's a very dicey thing. And, you know, something baffles me a lot. And I'm going to express myself today as your pastor. Am I free?
Yes.
Am I free? Yeah, something baffles me a lot. And this is what baffles me a lot. I don't understand how people feel comfortable in not dressing decently. It's a question I cannot. I've searched through the epistles. I don't see the answer there. Just that I don't understand how people feel comfortable. Now, you know, and I'll say something to help all of us today. And so, you know, some people believe that decency is relative, but a lot of times you are just very insincere with yourself. You know, I know all the place of where you have to say men should be disciplined, and unfortunately, we have to just. Like he did, he started from men and went to the main point. I'm going to start from the main point. Yeah, because really, as a guy, what can you possibly do? You can do a lot, but definitely. Okay, as a guy, for instance, there are some short knickers you should not wear. Short knicker is like tautology. So there's some knickers you should not wear to expose some sensitive areas of your life. Not your body, your life. That's your life. You know? See, I can... Okay. Now... A lot of times people ask questions like, what is decent, Pastor? What is not decent, Pastor? Pastor, but this is decent enough now. And I give a simple analogy. And this is the question. Number one, if you have respect for Jesus, and Jesus stood in front of you, will you wear what you are wearing? Some people, their conscience has been seared, they wear it. Yeah? So, that one might not always work. But some people that will work for. If you are standing in front of Jesus and this is what you are wearing, yeah. Imagine your Lord and Savior standing in front of you, and he's standing in front of you. You are looking at you, are talking eyeball to eyeball, looking at your chest, your Jesus. But if that doesn't work, this is the simplest thing I do for ladies, yeah. So I'm going to answer your question now. This is simplest. So when someone should ask me how short should my skirt be, see, dear saints, you don't have to dress in all fitted clothes before you are beautiful. Yeah, you see scriptures in the book of Matthew, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 quickly. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Timothy 2 verse 7. Paul says to Timothy, he says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verse 8, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up what? Did you see that? Lifting up what? Holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verse 9, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Yeah, but his point in that reverse is not necessarily the modest apparel. He now tells you the real deal. He says with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. I'm going to explain this, you know, maybe today. Yeah, look at verse 10. You say, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Yeah, this almost summarizes the question the apostle had about dressing. You know, but I'm going to pay attention to. So Paul is not saying don't wear gold. Do you get that? Paul is not saying that. We'll look at that. But let me answer your question first of all. You know, like I was saying, and one of the easiest things I do to ladies that ask me questions is this. I say, sister, how are you doing too? After we finish talking, how are you doing? How are you? Are you fine? Hope you are good. Are you doing okay? Yeah. To know a clothes not to wear out. One of the easiest ways to know not a clothes not to wear out is if you are a newly married woman, right? And your husband, let's even assume your husband is a pastor. You are a newly married woman. and you're about to travel for a trip for 3, 4 days or 1 week. Are we here? Are we all here? Yeah? And you're about to travel for 3, 4 days or 1 week. And you have a house girl that's assisting you. Let me use a better word. House assistant that is assisting you. And as you are going on your trip, and only you and this our young married man in a mansion of 5 bedrooms up and down. Yeah. And as you are going, these clothes you are wearing is the clothes the lady wears. Yeah. And just as you're about to step out to catch your flight, you see that lady wears that clothes you are wearing and comes and serves a cup of tea for your husband. Would you go on your trip with one heart again? Now, even that, this example I'm just giving, some people, they have their heart also shared. I trust my husband now. But it's one of the easiest ways to actually answer that question. So you will not be comfortable. Now, definitely you have a house assistant. She's supposed to help assist your husband as you go. Even in that fact alone, your heart will still be unstable, small, unsettled. What's the word? Troubled. Tarazo. A little troubled. So in your heart, what now happens if that already trouble already in your heart is now fostered by your dressing? Would you go on your trip again? Or you'll be video calling your husband throughout? You'll video call your husband throughout. So if you cannot be comfortable with that, even if it's your friend, you are leaving your house with your husband. Your husband is a trust, tongue speaking, all nags or spirit of prayer. His man is a man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you get this? So if you cannot actually be comfortable with that, if your husband was the CEO of a company and you walked into your husband's office, right, and the secretary dresses the way you are dressing, and you just opened the door, they were not doing anything, what will come to your mind? First of all, that is the lady alone behind doors with your husband is already a question to answer. But now imagine what you now see is everything now glorious. How would you feel? So the same way you don't want somebody else to do that to your husband or those you love, you are doing it to other people. People, like they will say, it's not doctrinal, but they will say men are always moved by what they see. And ladies are moved by what they hear. Yeah? So a lady, you need to tell a lady you are the eagle that perches on my land, you know. You need to tell her all those things. But as a man, you don't need to tell a man anything. Why are you looking at my wife? I saw some of you looking at her. You should look at me. Then Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Glory to God. Yeah, you know, I sound more calmer now, right? Yeah. So, but in the real sense, the question now becomes, why should you act or dress that way? Let me tell you something. A man is always moved by what he sees. No matter how doctrinal, even, let me use myself as an example. No matter how firm you are in God's word, yeah, there's a way a man of, if you notice sometimes, don't, I'm not saying you should notice it for me. You notice sometimes, there's an angle a pastor is always, no matter how far he goes, he comes back there. Sometimes he's seeing something. It might be the Holy Ghost, but sometimes he's seeing something. A man would always move. So the best way to do is to, let me also say something. This is not doctrinal. I'm having a practical class with us today. Okay? Let me say something today. A lot of rape issues that are seen around the world, yeah, you hear people say things like, oh, she was dressed in hijab from head to toe, yet she was raped. You know why? Because a man is one who is fed by the things he sees. What happens to a man? A man goes on the streets, he feeds his eyes, or people feed his eyes with things that will create a lot of fantasies in his mind. Now, because those ladies are far off or he doesn't have a relationship with them, what happens? He cannot go close to them. So because he wants to satisfy his urge, what does he do? He looks for the weakest person around him that he can easily satisfy. It wasn't that lady that tempted him. Did you get that? It wasn't the lady that was in hijab that tempted him. No, so when you're saying she was in hijab, it was raped, your mind should not go to the lady. There's nothing about, there might have been nothing about the lady. Maybe it was previous pictures of the lady or all those things. But in the real sense, it is that he has fed his mind with so many other things. And the best place to express it is what? Through the weakest person around him. So, at the end of the day, you say, men are dog, men are scum, men are goats, men are cows, men are everything. You call out all the animals' name. That's fine. But in the real sense, it is that, so, you know, no matter how much we teach what we are teaching about believers' conduct, you cannot make everybody dress decently. No matter what. So, definitely, that's why I say self-control is not something taught only to men. It's taught to both men and women in Christ. Yeah, so no matter what I say, but you should not be one who will fuel such things. As I keep saying, there are a lot of things you cannot go to a store to make. There are a lot of clothes you should not wear. I've always told us, the day anybody's going to get married in this church, let me tell you ahead of time, don't wear any clothes that open your breast. When I stand, I'll be looking at you. You know, what litmus test for the things you wear, the clothes you wear. So when you say, I like this gown, not every gown that is good on Sister A will be good on you. Do you understand? Not every gown that will be good on Sister A will be good on you. You know, so now for your question, brother, yeah, when you ask a question and you say that, oh, can you tell a brother? Well, it depends on the level of relationship you have with that brother or that sister. Yeah, but one thing you must not do is that you must not speak it from a condemnation path to express yourself. Yeah, and also, you know, you cannot teach it from God's word. Yeah, so the best you can just do is just teach about God's conduct that is to be expressed through us. Yeah, you cannot force people to not wear what they want to wear, or to wear what they or not to wear what they want to wear. People will always be people, but you as a believer, you should not be one known as. There are some things you should not wear. But yeah, so in the real sense, we must be able to realize that the clothes we wear, for instance, it is not for our sake alone. We must consider others. It becomes so terrible right now that the clothes that people even wear to parties, they can wear to church. Now, I don't blame them. I mean, a lot of our churches are parties now. Parties in the morning. Abi? I've not seen people doing praise and worship and man and woman are doing like this. You've not seen it? Praise and worship in the church, man and woman, and the woman doing like this, I'm doing like this. And the man, you shall get the answer to your question. You can speak to someone, you can speak to them about it, depending on how close you are. But I've answered the question. You can, but you have to be extra careful, just so that you don't bring con, because either you dress naked for the rest of your life, as long as you believe the gospel, you are saved. Yeah, but there's a conduct expected from you as a Christian. Did I help anybody here this morning? Yeah? Any other question? Rashegun, your hand is about going up. I'm seeing your hand. I'm seeing your hand, Rashegun. Ask a question. You know, when it comes to believers, there are some things. See, some of your. Because of believers' conduct, there are some things some of your friends would be selling that you cannot help them advertise. Did you understand that? You can't, because you are selling clothes. Your own partner, one of your friends is selling weed. You know, say because we're helping ourselves. The worst you can do for your friend is to help them repost and share and like. And you two go and post weed on your status. After weed, the next thing they post is believers conduct flyer. Don't remove God's Palace logo from that flyer. Yeah, there are some things you will not just do. Not because. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, let me wait for a couple of us to be ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the summary of love walk. Are we together? This summary of believers' conduct. Yeah. Some things might not be wrong in themselves, but because it brings offense or it allows a brother to stray, what do? You forfeit it. You put aside. Are we together? You put aside. Glory to God. Any other question? You have a question? Another question. Someone should ask me a question. There's a question I'm waiting for now. Ask me now. Who's here? Who's here? Who has a question? Don't be shy. Reverse Conduct is a series that everybody's supposed to have a question. So I tend to say I did a good job in this series. I did a very good job, huh? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Going. Any other question? You have a question by Iri? Okay.
Okay, good morning, sir.
Morning, brother.
Pastor, I want to ask because I heard you say severally during the course of this series that when we are talking about believers' conduct in the light of the epistles, there's really no do's and don'ts. And I think you even mentioned it again this morning, that when we say believers' conduct, you can't say this, do this, or don't do that. And I wanted you to, you know, further explain that, because, you know, for instance, we have when the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembly of the brethren together. Mm-hmm. That sounds like, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like there's a do and don't. Then Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, he says, shun wild parties or youthful lust. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a do and don't.
Okay, okay.
So what really is the place for believers, you know, if we say we're looking at believers' conduct through the light of the epistles, what really is the place for us to say, okay, this thing, don't do it? Or are there things that you cannot, like everything is just dependent on your own personal
convictions
or consecration? Then also is that, can we really say that there is no bar for when it's a believer's conduct? Can we really say there's no bar? You know, there are things that we can say are allowed to some extent, depending on maybe where you are. But can we really say that there are not things that cut across generally? A believer should not be found doing this thing. It's not because, you know, you're in Nigeria or you're outside the country. This thing is not, you know, the way Paul would say, these things are not things that are
commonly found amongst unbelievers.
Exactly. These are not even things that would be mentioned among the believer.
Unbelievers.
Yeah, unbelievers. So, for instance, now, yes.
Okay, so I think I need to bring more, that's fine. I think I need to bring more conscious, I need to be conscious about that part again and re-say it. Yeah, so I think I might have, I can't remember exact ways I might have said it. I might have oversaid it or undersaid it or not expressed myself as I was speaking about. But at every time when I spoke about the do's and don'ts, forgive me, I was subconsciously having a bias in my head. And this is the bias. For instance, the Bible episode will not tell you the length of your gown of your skirt. Do you understand? The episode will not tell you if you should wear a face cap or not as a guy. The episode will not tell you if you should keep afro or do sporting waves. Yeah, especially will not tell you you should fry your hair and all those things. And in the real sense, you know, you can keep going up and on scriptures to actually see scriptures that teaches about believers should not do this. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do this. In as much as the difference between that and under the law, okay, yeah. So you know, the difference between that and under the law is that under the epistles, it is not as a criteria to be saved. Do you understand? But there are do's and don'ts in the episode. So I think I need to be sure what I said at those particular points in time. And I'm correcting it right now. And what I meant is that I had a bias in my head and I was trying to, do you understand? When it comes to believers' conduct, it's actually a comparison of how you actually even conduct yourself when you go for an interview in your office place. Do you understand? So when I say the New Testament book doesn't give us do's and don'ts, I'm saying New Testament book doesn't give us do's and don'ts about how to look. Do you understand? New Testament book doesn't give us details about how not to look. Yeah, New Testament book doesn't teach about how to either be drunk, to drink wine, alcohol, or not to drink alcohol. New Testament book doesn't teach about smoking cigarettes. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, but there are conducts in scriptures, like for instance, 1 Timothy, where it says, flee youthful lust. 1 Timothy 2, also verse 16, when he mentioned imminence of faithers. There are instructions of doom. There are things that are definite. Don't do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
There are things that are definite. Don't do this. Don't do this. Do this. Pray. Is prayer not a do and don't?
Yes.
Prayer is a doing now. You get, yeah, yeah. So the question is, question now becomes, what is the, is there a bar for what to do and what not to do? Because a lot of things we say are wrong and not wrong is actually dependent on our geographical location on the map, on the earth. Do you understand? The reason why, so for instance, why should a Christian, so if I'm in Nigeria and you're preaching don't smoke, yeah, can you successfully preach don't smoke in a country that is cold? When they tell you that they are smoking just because to keep their inside warm. Are we together? You know, so if you preach in Nigeria, don't, I think the reason why a lot of people preach against alcohol in Nigeria is because of the rate at which we see a lot of naughty people when they are drunk. So just somewhere in your head categorize it as that's of the devil. Flee. Hallelujah. You know, I know that. So when it comes to alcohol, you cannot ask me what does the Bible teach about alcohol, and I'll teach you from the New Testament. Because even the Bible tells you in Titus chapter 2, it says an elder should not be drunk, it should not be given to wine. Paul says it in 1 Timothy, he says it in Titus. He didn't say a bishop should not drink alcohol. Did I say he should go home and go and buy alcohol now? Yeah, but the Bible does, he says, so even from that verse, you can see that there's a liberty to what? Drinking of alcohol, for instance. But he says a bishop. So some of you now can run away from me. I'm not a bishop. You say you should not be given to drunkenness. Give me Timothy to Titus. That was Titus. No, 2:9 is in life. Titus 1:11-9. Beautiful. Look at it. Give me. Okay, it says, for a bishop must not be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. Yeah, when he says it in Timothy, I think it says not being a drunkard. Sometimes you say not being a drunkard, you know. But in the real sense, if you look at it in the real sense, who is a bishop? A bishop is one who sets a template for what the saints should follow from scriptures. So it means that if a bishop is actually giving this instruction, it means that you are actually supposed to learn that or follow that or see that as an example to follow from a bishop. You get what I just said? If this is an instruction to a pastor, it must be blameless, it must be a steward of God. This is not only to a pastor. By extension, is an instruction to every saint. Because the pastor is one who will lead by example, and you will follow. You will see a template and follow. You know, so when he says, we're not giving to wine and all those kind of things, you know, and all those plenty in English. In the real sense, alcohol is not something that is, I'm trying to help you answer your questions, right? Yeah, so alcohol is not something that is taught in scriptures that do not do. You know, you can even explain it. Some people can be so interesting and say, the water that Jesus turned to wine was alcohol. Were you there? But for someone who is thinking, you actually look at it and say, look at it. If the presidents are having a meeting and they are sharing wine, and they brought a wine afterwards and they said this wine is better than the first wine, Yaradua or Buhari cannot be having a meeting with Sibajan, which wine they are sharing is ever. Do you understand? It's not pure heaven. Do you understand? If you look at it, why were people getting drunk in the church in Corinth when they were doing love feast? You don't get drunk from pure heaven. It's not Chamdor that gets you pure. It's not Chamdor. If you like drink 20 cartons of Chamdor, you can never be drunk. Nothing, you'll be yourself. The only thing that happens is your stomach will be bigger. Just like you will be in your food. So it's not Chamdor that was making them drunk in Corinthians. So if you want to look at the, you know, contextual analysis, or you can teach alcohol as something that has been done from, you know, Genesis up until Revelation and is in the epistles. But in the real sense, you will realize that if you actually have the love of God in your heart, yeah, knowing that we're in a new generation, not in a new generation, we're in a new day and time where some people might not listen to you just because you are drinking alcohol. Is that true? People will not hear what you have to say just because they see you with. That's why I keep saying something. When you want to post your friend's picture, don't post a picture of them with that bottle. Don't post your with star. It's in you. No. Don't put, if you don't have another picture of your friend, before their birthday, call them, video call them, take a screenshot and post. Because all these things have meaning in our day and time. Why does it have meaning? Because technology has come to amplify a lot of these things. They didn't start today. But technology amplified. So because of the interest or the invent of technology and what he does, we have to now actually work based on the epistles being our fundamental and our foundation and actually relate with what is happening at the time right now. Do you get that? You get that? So they are doing, so they bar when you say, so for instance, some people will say, don't do this in Nigeria, do this in Nigeria. Some people will say, don't do this in Nigeria, do this in Nigeria. So for instance, imagine if we are teaching that a lady should not wear that which belongs to a man, and a man should not wear that which belongs to a woman. Yeah, and you go to Scotland, where I did my school. In fact, when I was even teaching about this thing years ago, I didn't know I was even going to end up in Scotland. Because one of the first arguments I brought up about women wearing trouser was that, what of countries like Scotland? So imagine, what I was even telling that at that time, not knowing. Yeah, you know, just imagine you are going to Scotland, you know, and you are doing something in Scotland, and maybe you have a church in Scotland, you are going to go and preach in a crusade in Scotland, and all the men come with, what do you call it? Kilt, yeah? That's, you know, kilt is... that which belongs to a man. You know, and it's a skirt. You wear skirt, you wear socks, you wear shoe. Have you seen a skirt? They look very beautiful. Oh my goodness, they look very beautiful. I thought I was going to wear it for my wedding, actually. But I told you. But fortunately, unfortunately, I wore lace. So back to the point. Yeah? So, you know, what will you do in a situation like that? What is the template of that which belongs to a woman? Understand. In the real sense, if you look at the contextual reason for that to belong to human Deuteronomy, the reason why Moses thought it was to curb homosexuality. Do you understand that? Yeah? There was no, I don't think there was anything, I think it was robes they were wearing mostly. Yeah, but there are some female robes and male robes and all those kind of things. Yeah, but we're just writing into, that's why if you look at a woman should know where that belongs to a woman, a man, and a man should know where that belongs. We only stop at the first part where it says a woman should know where that belongs to a woman. In that same verse, you see a man. In that scene, he didn't go to another chapter, the same verse. You know, so the bar is actually the love of God should be the bar and should actually regulate things we do. Just think about this for yourself. Sometimes what helps me making decisions is I have an ability to help people think for them. Yeah, so I can do something right now and think of how three different people will think about it or will view what I just did. So it helps me. It helps me. Do you get that? Am I clear? Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Mommy has something to say. Okay, please give her.
Praise the Lord.
Hello.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. NLT. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It said, get rid of all bitterness. You know, when we talk about believers' conduct, some believers are always bitter. Is that true? They are bitter maybe to their neighbor, even the husband to the wife, even siblings among themselves. Paul is telling us now that we should get rid of all bitterness. This is part of believers' conduct. Rage, anger. Some of us, we have anger issues. You just say, I inherited that one from my father. That's how my father used to do when he was like my age. And some of us, when you are driving, you know, you put, hallelujah, you put that believer's conduct aside. If a driver misbehaves, you know the way you shout. That is not part of believer's conduct. You know, there are some things in this, our day, there are some things that if you don't put on Christ, you will misbehave. Before you now realize that, yes, this thing I'm doing, is I'm not supposed to do it. Because some people can be so annoying. Hallelujah. Anger. Harsh words. We are fond of that. As a believer, we are not supposed to be doing that. How do you talk to people outside? Somebody approaches you and talks to you in a gentle manner. You transfer your aggression, all the things you have been passing through. Maybe you have written a lot of letters. Maybe you have submitted a lot of proposals. They do not have positive response. And somebody just comes to you. You just transfer that aggression. Even fathers, even parents, they transfer aggression to children. Yes. Because what you are passing through, maybe you have just finished paying school fees. And the school fees were so much. And then you look at your account, you don't really have something. When your child that doesn't know anything, just happy and coming, just go and sit down, go follow your mother. Praise the Lord. All those things, they are very, very important. Harsh words. And slander, as well as all types of evil behaviors. All those things, we have to be very, very careful with malice. Put away from you with all malice. Christians, they keep malice. That's not part of a believer's conduct. For the mere fact that your neighbor offends you, you keep malice. I will not greet her. if she's coming out like this and you see him that is coming out, just moving, I cannot even keep this one first. Even among the believers, somebody offends you, say, it's not me that will say sorry first. Even among husband and wife, if you didn't say sorry, I will not say sorry. Especially women, we find it difficult to say sorry. That's it. That's the truth. Hallelujah. You find it, let him say sorry. You know, we like petting. Isn't it? Women in the house. Hallelujah. Instead, be kind to each other. That's 32 now. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, some of us, we have a diary that we keep offenses. Yes, he did it to me 2000 and something. Yes, he offended my father. Yes, we shouldn't be found in that. We have to be very, very careful in whatever we do. Our actions matters a lot. People read you through. Sometimes you might not talk, but your character will show who you are. The Christian in Acts of Apostles, they didn't call them Christian. They called them Christian because of the way they behave. That is why they call. So our behavior, wherever we get to, our behaviors must show. You don't need to tell them, don't you know I'm a Christian? Don't you know I'm a pastor? No. You need, your conduct must be able to reflect in whatever you do. It might not be your dressing alone, but the way you talk to people, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Colossians 4:5-6 says, live wisely among those who are not believers. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Live wisely among those who are not believers. For the mere fact that you have a non-believer neighbor, don't say, no, I will not greet them, because they are not of my faith. But you have to, the way you live your life must show them, even some of them can even come to Christ through your activities, through your behavior to them. Show love. Show love. One day they'll say, yes, I want to follow you to your church. I want to do this. I want to do that. By the time you even preach Christ to them, they don't need much argument, because they have already seen it in your conduct. Praise the Lord. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. Our mouth, what you are saying with your mouth, there is power of life and death in your mouth. What are you saying? What are you saying to people? You can just get to maybe a counter in the office, in the bank, you know. Maybe a sister has been there. Maybe she has been battered home. For the mere fact, sister, good morning. You are looking good. You are doing those things. That won't be. Maybe the husband did not even tell her when she was coming at home. What did you wear again? You know, you're some men and like that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So whatever you do, what you want people to do to you, try as much as possible to do it to people. What we not tolerate, don't do it to other people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, mommy. That was one of the things we're going to round up this series on. Yeah, but it looks like that has been sorted already. Yeah. You have another question? Okay, that's fine. And wait, hold on. Any other question? He has asked one already. You have a question? Okay.
Okay. Pastor, I want to ask, because we, through the study, we saw that a major part of when we talk about believer's conduct has to do with the love work. But how? What would you advise for a believer who, you know, in practicing love work, you find out that, you know, there are certain people who deliberately, just because they know that you're a Christian, and you're not just a Christian who says, I believe in Jesus. You're a Christian who
act,
you know, you are making full proof of your faith.
Uh-huh.
You know, they deliberately go out of their way,
uh-huh,
just to offend you.
Uh-huh.
So when you, in a way, react, you say, you're a Christian.
Uh-huh.
You know, so what would you say, you know, how would you advise a believer to conduct himself? Do you just, you know, because it's hurting, you know, as a human being.
Uh-huh.
You know, when people, you know, it's not just the fact that people offend you. When you are aware that people deliberately, just to, would I say, test your faith, or they go out of their way to do so, that's exactly what's
So now, you know, truth is, when it comes to believers' corner and believers' love walk, a lot of times it is actually in the trying times that you really know if you are conducting yourself well. Do you understand? You see, you cannot say you are a forgiving person in the real sense if you've not been able to prove to yourself that, or you've not been able to prove to people and people know that you actually forgive someone who did something terrible to you. So the test of our faith in the real sense is actually when we challenge. So, for instance, look at it. Anytime we're saying we're full of God, I'm full of power. Power of God is at work in me. Yeah. It is only confession in your mouth until it becomes a reality in your actions. Are we together? Yeah. So how do I know the power of God is at work in you? Number one, the word says so. Number two, you confess it. Number three, we actually see it in how you demonstrate healing to people. So the same thing that applies to love, work, and conduct. Truth is that to be a wise person, for instance, I was teaching on Wednesday about when Jesus was teaching about if someone slaps you on the cheek on the left, where you turn the right. You know, Jesus is not saying that you should, because, you know, that would be Jesus teaching about, that would be Jesus teaching stupidity 101. Yeah, if it's that they slap you to the left and you say, this is my right, I'll take it. You know, a slap. A slap on a face that is well set is different from an impulsive slap. If we are talking out here, I just tear you one power. Yeah. The texture and volume. You understand? It will be different if you put your face and I wipe you one. See, if I'm talking and I slap you impulsively, is that correct? Yeah, so I can hit you anywhere. I might end up at the back of your head. But if your face is set, do you understand? So in the real sense, Jesus is not saying that, oh, turn your other face for them. No, what he's really saying is a figure of speech, you know, it's a figure of speech of explaining how you use the love of God, the peace of God, to meet with the worldly influence on that person. Yeah, so turning your cheek to the other side to slap is not literal but figurative of words. You respond to that in love. There's never a time where walking in love will be wrong. So a proper answer to your question in the real sense, when you know people are like that, you try and avoid them. That's the easiest way. There is no other thing I can teach about that than that. Do you understand? There's no other thing, because I cannot teach you to respond. Now, you know, when someone responds to an evil something does to somebody, sometimes it's impulse. Sometimes it's at the moment. You know, when the real sense, it is in that time that we really know if God's word is at work in you. That millisecond that requires a response, an impulsive response, an instant response. So the best I can do is when you notice it happens the first time, second time, you know, put a full proof of your faith in display. Yeah, run away from the person. But once it happens, yeah. And even if you respond immediately, the next wisest thing to do as a Christian is to apologize right there and there. Now, it might not be easy. Because, you know, one of the issues in Nigeria is that an average man has ego problem. There's an average man is always dealing with ego problem. So he's like, how? You know, so sometimes it will be difficult to say sorry. So, but when you see it, once you bring back to your consciousness God's word, apologize for it immediately. You were the one that was wronged. But in doing God's word, you are what? Meeting the evil of the world with what? God's goodness. So you are extending the forgiveness that God has given to us in Christ Jesus that we have received, extending it to mankind. So number one, like I said, you run away from such situations. You try and avoid such conversations. Yeah, people were always terrible. See, the reason why we are to walk in love is not because everybody on earth will actually support us. Did you get that? The reason why we are told to have a proper believer's conduct or walk in love is not because everybody on earth will support our believer's love walk. No. It's actually because what? People will not support. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as wise as serpents. Be harmless as dove. Are we together? Yeah. We're in the midst of wolves. We're in the midst of people who are corny. Yeah. But never forget, even at a time when it looks like you slip off your reality in Christ, make sure you bring back to your consciousness that person you really are in Christ. Yeah. So in the real sense, if you are one who reacts impromptu and you do something out of the world, in the real sense, what you've done is you've lived beside your real reality. Yeah. In fact, I will say it this way for better understanding. You've lived a hypocritical life at that point, because that is not your life. Did you get that? Does that sort of your question? Yeah. So that's fine. Any other question again? Yes, another question. It's only two people that ask questions today. It's like, have I answered every other person's question? Want to ask another question? What? the question he asked. So he was asking that there are some people who will, because they know you are a Christian, want to push you to the world so you can react. Do you understand that? Yeah. And the answer to that is really, if you notice that people are like that, you try and guard your space, guide your sanity. And if at all you cannot really, because for instance, that person you are talking about now can actually be the only person you are sharing office with Monday to Friday. That's serious wahala. Monday to Friday, that's the only person you are seeing every day, every time, every day. You know, you have to keep responding in love by love through love, in love by love through love, in love by love through love. You have to become, you see, you can't ask them to change your name. You are loving. Because that is all that's interesting. Yeah, yeah, you have to do the word. There's never a time when doing the word will be considered wrong. Never. Did you get that? See, this thing I'm saying, some of you have not understood what I'm saying. There's never a time where walking in love will ever be considered as wrong. Never a time. Even when you can logically justify why you should not walk in love. There's never a time walking in love. There's never a time having proper conduct amongst people will ever considered as wrong. Yeah, next person.
I just want to ask again. I want to say this. In the course of walking in love at time, I compromise. So I'm saying this. And this is the reason, sir. But at times, it's just as you said that, at times when you make mistake, you just kind of remind yourself so who you are and kind of make correction. Like in my own case, at times when I see believer, okay, we have lived together. Maybe we are living together, like, all through my lifestyle, for the past, like, 7 years, 8 years, so I've had the situation where I had to live with a brother, yeah, and they are not so even before coming to Abuja, so maybe family members, so that are Christian. And, sir, I thank God for helping me. So the word of God I'm hearing, I want to practice it. So like love walk, and also okay, love is kind of, so and now the little, whatever I have, as brothers, Christian brothers, so that we are speaking in tongue together, even sharing scripture together. So and even when it comes to the place of sharing scripture, I discovered that at times they can be more focal than me. So, but now when it now comes to a place where both of us, my parents are not politicians, so there's nobody rushing money for me. So now, as a young man, you hustle, so in this country. So I know what you get now. So what you get as a brother living together, I now come. Maybe I come back. I bought something. These things are practical. So, God have mercy. I bought. So, mommy, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For example, maybe two of you are believers. You go to maybe the same church. You speak in tongues. You do everything. So you go to your working place. I go to my working place. Maybe you are using your, you are keeping your money. So I bring food. You eat my, isn't it? Is that not? So the little money I have, though I don't have much, I buy food, I put it down, two of us, we eat. Then when it is your own turn to bring your food, you know you... Maybe you just walk away, you walk out, and you go to cafeteria or wherever to come to go and eat. You know, there was a story my husband told me when they were growing up. There are four in a room. So two of them, they are always supplying. The little they have, they will bring the money down. They will eat. One of them, half money used to hide it on the roof. Praise the Lord. I'll be telling them, I don't have money. So when they now find out that there is money, so they went there to take the money. They used it to buy food. All of them ate. So when the man got there, he didn't see his money. He cannot ask anybody. Because he has already told them that there's no money. So his question now is that, in that situation where I'm just supplying, and you are keeping your money, maybe you are building house or doing something with your money, maybe you are planning to buy a car, and you are using my own money to eat. So what? So as a Christian, what will I do? Should I stop providing? Or I think that's your question.
Do you want to answer it? Do you want to answer it? He said I should answer it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So mommy has helped you refine your question. Yeah, and the question is quite straightforward. And the truth is that in the real sense, you cannot put yourself in a position where you are the only, except you don't have future goals for yourself. See, no matter what you are talking about, all these things we are saying, you must be people who have, for instance, let me give you an example. There's an account I have that no matter what comes, my brother and sister, I'm generous, but no matter what, before anything can make me take money from that account, it's life and death. Do you understand? Yeah. So I'm one, for instance, no matter how much enters into my account, I try to make sure I save a large, I don't spend more than I save. Yeah. Any amount that enters into my account, there's always a constant saving of nothing less than 70 to 82%. Right? And there's a constant spending of 20%. Worst comes to worst, if things become very tight and I need to spend, I might end up saving 60%. That's the worst, that, but I cannot save 50. Do you understand? So, and people will always reach out to me to ask questions. Pastor, this, that. So what I do is, no matter what happens, no matter what gets into my account, I put a percentage for savings. I put a percentage for daily spending. I put another percentage for daily giving. So if I say I'm giving 10% of my income every month to people, it's the first five people that will benefit. If you come as a tenth person, if it's not life and death, you say I don't have. Because the reason I don't have, the money in my savings is not my money. My savings owns it. Do you understand? And Jerry, so in the real sense, when you start seeing people like that, in the real sense, you, it's a very tricky question that you want to put me inside trouble to answer. Because I cannot tell you to go and be eating behind while we're eating behind, come and sleep in the house. Do you understand? That would be a worldly way to approach it. But if it is not convenient for you, draw out a structure as to how you want to keep saving and how you want to keep growing your savings. Yeah? So that, because let me tell you something, an average person in Nigeria is always entitled. Do you understand? I've experienced it. You know, sometimes you give somebody 5,000, all you had. There's sometimes all I'll have might be maybe 10,000 naira, and somebody will reach out to me and give me 7,000 naira. A person will not even acknowledge. I'm not giving you so that you can thank me. That's the least thing on my mind. But in my mind, I'll be like, if you know what I did to actually go through all of this to give you that money. But everybody just, the pastor is always wearing white and wristwatch. It's true. He's always standing in front. Even God's Friday, they bought a new mic. You know, everybody just expects that pastor has millions to share. It's not always like that. So the same thing. So we must always understand that in this world we find ourselves, everybody has a sense of entitlement. Somebody give you 100,000 and say, is that all you can give me? Some of us here, we are saying A. Some of us, I not say the person that say A, but some of us here, you know, we might be like that. Yeah? Why? Because, look at it. An average person gauges how much you give them from how much they think you are worth. Let me say it again. An average person gauges how much you give them from how much they think you are worth. So I look at this brother now. I think he's worth $1 million. You always say amen. Yeah, I think it's worth $1 million. At the end of the day, he gives me 5,000 naira. Or 2K. And say, Brasunki. You now come and tell Pastor, please teach generosity more. Our brothers are steep. No, you have different things doing. So when you find yourself in a position in that, my brother, like in that room, and what do? You act like one who is a believer. Yeah, you make sure you are not. So you don't, because of the evil one is doing to you, become stingy. Do you understand? But also because of that, you don't become callous. Yeah, such that, look, think about it this way. This is what makes you stupidity. You know that if you bring your own food today and all of you will eat, tomorrow you might not have money to eat. Only you will be hungry. He will still eat. Do you understand? Do you want to say something else?
Yes.
Let me give one to my priest.
Lord, as Pastor has said, you must always give room for saving, no matter what, no matter how much you are collecting. I was collecting 2,500 naira.
Mommy, no. 2,500 naira. You say 500,000 naira.
Okay. 2,500 naira.
That was a salary.
That was my salary. Despite the fact I would still pay my tithe, though tithe was so, that time, I will still save. There's no amount that is too small to be saved. You know, if it is 1,000 you are saving every month that you will not touch, no matter what. But some of us now, you know, maybe your salary is 20,000 naira and they increase your salary to 30,000 naira. That, it is there, you know that you don't want to eat fish again, you want to eat chicken. Instead for you to increase your saving, you will not do that. Because a time will come that money you are saving, you will know that you will have something to do with it. For example, there was a time somebody brought land. He said, Pastor, go and bring whatever you have. And the land worth maybe 4 million naira to 5 million naira. He said, Pastor, go and bring what you have. And then there's a particular money we normally save. We have 500,000 naira there. Daddy told me we have 500,000. I said, let's go and tell him that this is what we have. We told him we have 500,000 naira. He said, go and bring it. He collected that 500,000 naira instead of 3-4 million and gave us that land. Imagine we don't have that money. So you don't eat with your 10 fingers. Save money. Whatever you want to give, you know, when you are a salary earner, divide your money. This is how much I'm going to spend. Your salary, this is how much I want to spend. You know, some people, their wife was pregnant for 9 months. It is the 9th month they will be telling pastor that they are here to buy the things for the children, for the child. So you that you know you are pregnant for 9 months, must you wait for the last week to come up and tell the pastor you are here to buy things? So save, don't use your 10 fingers to eat. It's very, very important. Whatever you want to give to your people, share, this is what I have, this is what I can afford. There's no crime in it. This is what I can afford. You put it down. So that, because when time comes, there's something you must be able to rest on that I have this one. And I'm not saying that you must be stingy. And I'm not saying that if somebody needs help and come to you, you should not give. And say, mommy say we should be keeping you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is very, very important. You must have money you are not spending. After you give to God, you give your daily activities. As a salary earner, if they don't pay your salary for 2 months, you should be able to get something to rely on. Some of us, what we do, if they don't pay your salary 2 days after, you'll be grumbling. They are yet to pay our salary. I don't have transport to go to work. Why? It should not be so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, the truth is, what mommy just said is actually very tricky. For a country that is as it is, let me not say anything that will allow them to come and flog me. For a country that is the way it is, it's actually very difficult. Because in the real sense, look at it now. If you are earning 10,000 naira, if you are earning 20,000 naira, 20,000 naira is the average salary everybody earns in Nigeria. Oh, you don't believe so? You know so, bah? You know, but if you look at it in the real sense, if you are spending 10,000, conversations like these are very tricky. But what you just pick from what she's saying is save a percentage of it. I won't lie to you, the poverty in this country is terrible. Is terrible. And think about it, you are earning 40,000 naira, right? Every month you use 20,000 naira on transport alone. And I know it's in both. You know, so an advice might be that, for instance, if you're living here at one, you are going to Wuse too. Trek from here to Beggar. Wake up by 5 and trek and just see it as a way of burning calories, your money exercise. Do you understand? So it's very tight, but the point of what me saying is no matter what, make sure you have a savings. You know, but I just believe that the love of God is a litmus test to all our actions. Amen. Save as much as you can. Help as much as you can. Be generous as much as you can. Yeah? And everything. But it is well. Any other question? Okay. Please give our beloved sister.
Good morning. We've spoken about like walking in love and doing everything with the other person in mind and making sure we're always walking in love. And my question is from the other perspective of the person who, how can I explain it now? So the one who is being affected by the way you act, how do I deal with that when your actions, your behavior, or your dressing is affecting me and my faith as well. How do I deal with that? Knowing, like, I think Brother Akin was saying that, you know, when you want to speak to someone, also has to be the relationship you have with the person. So let's say I don't have that relationship and I can't approach them, but how they act actually affects me because we're both believers. How do I deal with that?
So are you saying for, give an example.
I don't know, a believer who curses or swears, or a believer who doesn't dress properly. Bless you. So yeah, a believer who, you know, their words, the way they speak, or a believer who dresses a different way, the way they act affects me.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. And you're saying you don't have a relationship with that person that you can speak to this person, like Brother Akin's question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so in the real sense, what you will now do is to go and look for all the scripture that says, guard your heart. Out of it flow rivers of what? Not living water. Why are you following my erroneous path? Excuse me. You have to go and look for the scripture that says Sean. Sean. Set apart. Let it not be. Put aside. That's the only way you can do about it. What do you want to do? Flee. Yeah? And you're saying you cannot speak to the person because you don't have a relationship with the person. You have to work on yourself. Do you understand? That's the only solution. You cannot be the person. Yeah? Let's just add a more religious one. Pray for the person. You're laughing? It's true. Pray for the person. Yeah, and also try and make, you can also see it from another angle. See that person as an assignment that you have for the gospel. See that person as one who you can disciple for the gospel. Walk towards it. Did that answer your question? Are you sure? Okay. If anyone had that question, did I answer it well? Do you think I answered it well? Nobody answered. Let me say it again. What I'm just trying to say is basically, you must make sure that you have it at the back of your mind that people will never always be what you want them to be to help your love, work, and conduct. There will never be people who would always assist us. The earth right now is in a state right now where it doesn't support love, work. Think about it. Everything is competition. If it's not APC, it's PDP. If it's not Chelsea, it's Arsenal. If it's not Imba, it's Abba. I'm sorry. Canopilas. Do you understand? So there's always one thing or the other. If it's not promotion at the office, it's demotion. Yeah, fine. Another question? You have a question? You raised your hand just now. I've answered it, right? Okay, yeah. So spend more time praying. Make the person your assignment. Stick God's word. And you be never ending or keep a fierce look on Jesus. Like, keep being you in Christ. Never allow any other person influence you're not walking in love. Don't be influenced by people's negativity, do you understand, in your love walk. Rocky, this series is for you.
Okay, sir. At what point does... What becomes the... Who determines when correction is correction and correction is condemnation? Because, for instance, I've had situations where people are told something and they say, don't condemn me. For instance, maybe you see somebody and you're trying to tell the person that this thing you're doing is not right as a believer. And the person feels like you are condemning them, you know? Because you can tell, maybe you see somebody and because they obviously are also aware of your own shortcomings, so they feel like you are not...
And both of you are together now. I'm listening to you, bro.
You know, they feel like you are not in a position.
Yeah.
So, that's why I'm asking, who determines when it's correction and condemnation?
Okay, your answer has answered the question. That is why you should not be one who they can point to say you are like me. Why? How do you know you're condemning? They can point to something you can... You might not be... Look at what happens. We're in a generation right now where people who are sinners, battling with sin, are judging other sinners for sinning differently. It's not that deep. And I said, one battling with a sinful act is judging other people for battling with sinful acts. Okay?
Yes, Pastor. When you say, when you use the word judging, it's like, I'm thinking about, for instance, when Moses saw the Israelites that were fighting, and he told them that, look, these things you're doing is not nice. And he said, who has made you judge over us? Uh-huh. Knowing that we know your story. Mm-hmm. Your story has gone around. Uh-huh. So, would you say, for instance, that Moses was judging those people because of what he has done? Because that's what I'm asking. At what point, or who determines if it's correction or if it's condemnation? Because, you know, sometimes you can have your own human frailties. But does that not mean that...
because you have my frailties, you cannot now say what is wrong?
Exactly. So at that point, you know, who are you to... So that I'm asking, who then determine, or at what point do you determine when it is correction...
I'll say something.
...or it's condemnation?
Okay. Give me the mic. Let me say something, please.
Praise God. Brother, regarding what you just said, you see... I think the best way to look at this is this. The best of us as believers, including ministers of the gospel, the best of us at our best, we are still men. In other words, I'm saying that, yeah, we are spirit being a hand, like filled with the Holy Ghost. But what I'm saying is that in the best of us at our best, the best of us at our best, we are still living in this body. So, which means at times, in fact, I can say, like, there's somebody that can claim, is it sinless perfection? So that, okay, maybe I don't make mistake at times or another. I'll be deceiving myself, man. So, now, but what I'm saying is this. In that kind of situation, sir, like the scenario that I gave, what I did, of which, that is why I said, I told myself, I said, sir, I've compromised in many scenarios. Because what I did at a point was that I called the brother. I'm not calling you to judge you to say maybe I'm perfect, maybe you're here. But look, the Bible says that we should exhort each other, so as brethren. So, yeah, so I said, brother, Jesus took away my sin, not my brain. Yeah, so let's. So, as brother in Christ. So at a point, there are times that, especially when it is something that is real, that the Spirit of God is imprisoned in your heart, or in your spirit to talk to someone. Because me, no matter what you are doing or something, and also the best approach to you is what Pastor said. You pray for the person, but if the Spirit of God is imprisoned in your spirit to talk to someone, honestly, I will tell, I will call you with humility, with due respect, and present it well. No matter the way the person react to it, it doesn't affect. In fact, if I'm hungry after I spoke with you, I'll go and eat. It doesn't affect me in any way. I will say it just if really the Spirit of God is impressing in my heart, to talk to you. So I will say, regardless of how. So to me, that is just the way I see it.
So I'm really. I think it's quite interesting. You want to say something? Say something about it. Okay.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, who determines whether it's condemnation or correction? Please correct me if I'm wrong. I would say no man has the ability to condemn any man. With men, it's all about correction. The condemnation, who determines whether it's condemnation or correction, is the receiver. We condemn ourselves in the sense that you have sinned. Okay, someone, a frail vessel that is, let me say, also sinning, comes and says, okay, this is not right. So it is you that is receiving that condemns yourself in the sense that this Holy Spirit in you ministers to you and says, oh, this thing I'm doing is actually wrong. So the condemnation comes from the perspective of the person that is receiving whatever the person is saying. You understand? So no man can say, because, oh, this brother said what I did is wrong. This brother has condemned me in the sense of condemnation. The total meaning of condemnation. I don't think any man can say, okay, can condemn you by what they've said and say, okay, I've condemned this person or whatever.
But it's quite tricky because I can actually condemn you.
But not in totality. Like, you can condemn me, like, personally, like, in my own heart. I can condemn someone in my own heart. But in the sight of God, I cannot, because of what I've said, make the person to be seen less in the sight of God.
Oh, no. That's even away from the conversation. I think that's even a different ball game if you're looking at it in reference to the eyes of God. Yeah, the condemnation is thinking about right now is actually more of the way the person feels. Is that true? It's more of about the feeling of the person. Yeah, and I think you a little answer the question or gave a part to the answer to the question about how, in the real sense, condemnation can only be determined by, because the truth is that no matter how much you correct, if people want to choose it to see it as condemnation, they will see it. Do you understand? Do you get? So in the real sense, it is that the best you can do is to make sure that you are seasoned your word. Let your speech be always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know what you ought to answer every man. So that is the context of what you must make sure is at the back of your mind when you speak. Do you understand? When you speak. So mommy said something in relation to that when she said that how you want to be treated, you treat to others. When the real sense, some people don't like to be treated well. So if there is that one, as a standard of treating others, you will feel like a pig. But really, let's stick with the word. Let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Yeah? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man, how to respond. Listen, if I come and look at this for yourself, if I tell you that if Brayiri is always going into a hotel room every night with a lady, and I know that they're always being themselves, you understand? If I call him and say, brother, what you are doing is wrong, is that condemnation? What you are doing is wrong. But he can see it as condemnation. Do you understand? How do you think I would... Do you think there's a better way for you to tell him what you are doing is wrong than saying what you are doing is wrong? Yeah.
Praise God.
If you think there's no better way to say it, why did Paul say, know ye not that your body is a temple? And also, do you want to say something? Say something.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I think a very good fraction of us, particularly everyone, passed through schools here. Now, I want to just be straight. In our schools, they always make mention of dress decently. We still find people fought that particular law. So, by extension, they know it is wrong. So, I want to go with him. I can never come to you and say, I want to come and condemn you. Whatever I tell you and you feel I'm condemning you, it means by extension, you know it is wrong before you even did it. Hallelujah.
Please, let her talk. See, when we started this thing, it looks like it's only me that will talk throughout today. See everybody now.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, sister.
Okay, so I feel like my opinion about this is knowledge and understanding of God's words will determine this, because the thing is, as if I have you as a believer and two of us, like, you come to me to tell me that, okay, sister, this thing you're doing is actually wrong. I'm not going to, because I have knowledge of God's words and I know that we are all human and we make mistakes, yeah? I'm not going to start saying it as, okay, she is condemning me, because she is in the best place to correct me as a fellow believer. So if I have knowledge and understanding of God's word and a fellow believer is coming to me and telling me, babe, this thing you did is wrong, I'll first of all look at that thing she's actually pointing at and know that, okay, as if you are a center.
But that is because you have God's mind.
That's what I said, it has to do with knowledge and understanding of God's words for the believer.
Okay, fine. I like that you started from there.
Yeah.
I like that. That answers it. Yeah, that answers it. So the fact that you have... So now, I think the question, Brian, let's try and fine-tune Brian's question to those who don't have knowledge and understanding. Who determines condemnation?
Because what I think the question is, because some people have the opinion that it is correction only when it has a fine tune. Do you understand? It's for instance, maybe you are in a unit. Let me use for instance, you're in a unit and your leader tells you this thing you are doing is wrong. You know, when it comes with, I don't think you should be doing this. He said, he corrected me. I don't think you should do this. Say, you're condemning me. You know, so that's the kind of opinion that some people carry. So that's what I'm saying. At what point do you now determine that, look, this thing is correction and it's not condemnation? Because if you understand, when you read Paul's epistle to the Corinth church, you can almost pass that as condemnation because of the harshness of his tone. You know, Paul would even say that.
But what can help us in Corinthians is that even though Paul came out with the harshness of words, he still came out with reminding them their reality.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, that example of Corinth will not really fly for the example we're trying to explain right now. Yeah. So if a saint, so I think if you're the head of a unit and look at someone who is doing something wrong, saying what you are doing is wrong. Yeah. So I think what Paul will actually teach as a complete correction will be making sure you so-called balance that with a reminder of his reality. In fact, I think that's the only way that you bring corrections without bringing trouble to the hearts of people. Because sometimes, you know, some leaders can be very stern in correcting, you know, and in their correction, it comes with all the voices and volumes of condemnation. Do you understand? Yeah. This, for instance, let me give an example. You know, this morning, I was going to do something. Yeah, this morning. And let me use it as an example, bro. Come quickly. I was going to do something this morning, but allow you to slide. And because of what we are teaching, right, I'm going to give an example. Now, he did something that was not good this morning. Am I condemning him? Am I condemning you, sir? He doesn't even know what he did. Now, this is what he did. I don't know what he was doing, but he was behind this pillar with his phone. Yeah? I want to believe what you were listening to was what you wanted to play for the... Right? Quite right. Now, imagine if I had looked at him at that pillar and I scolded him and I was, you know, out of... What's the word? Rage? Yeah. Maybe out of rage, you know, I looked at him. Yeah. And I scolded him. Because even at the time when the person leading prayer said, would look for a neighbor, he was still there. So I have the responsibility as a pastor of the church to make sure that we do the things we are supposed to do together in unity. But what did I not do? Yeah. Because a lot of times, if you respond at that time, it might not come out well. Do you understand that? Yeah, a lot of times also, I used to say something before, the reason I like correcting people publicly is that so other people can learn from it. Please sit down, brother. Yeah, so what I was going to do with him later was to say, brother, you know how important prayer is. No matter what happens, when we are praying, put your full consciousness to it. Will you get the point? Also, if I say, brother, what are you doing there? Will you get the point? He will get the point, but... It will go back at the point. Yeah, but that looks more of a... That's why, you know, I always say something. There's sometimes I say some things openly, yeah, so that you could learn from it. For instance, someone did something here, and I will not say it into details, but I've been correcting this thing over and over. For instance, I know I should say something. When for instance, I'm driving any one of you, you know, and we're going somewhere, you know, and I'm the one driving, or your leader is driving. You know, you don't sit in your leader's car and be making phone calls and be just there and be laughing. To the point your leader has to reduce the volume of whether the message or the song they are playing. You know, we can't teach that from the scriptures, but it's basic courtesy. It's basic courtesy. You know, some of us have done this, and let me even say it openly. You don't come to your pastor's house. You come to mommy's house. You sit down. And you see mommy has visitors. And you sit down gallantly on the chair. It's lack of courtesy. But I've done it over and over. I've corrected a couple of us. Come in. And I said, this is not doctrine. Let's even assume you know. You don't, because of either you know or you don't know, not give respect to an average person. Scotty, stand up and greet. Do you understand? But a lot of times I'll just be like, okay. Because I'm also in a phase where I'm trying to learn how to bring correction to edify you. If you know me and you know me very well. I'm gonna remember the first Sunday after that day passed when I came here and called everybody to the front. If you were in this church, if you were in church that time, that day, let me say, where that the next Sunday after I was buried my dad. Okay. Do you see how I scolded people? How many of you attended the service or song and saw how I spoke to people? Some of you were there. But that is 3 years ago. You know, even myself, I'm learning how to make sure I communicate it. So I don't deal with people as my babies, as my kids. I believe that there's always a way you can communicate correction without what? Being voracious. There are some that need actually love this thing, but I actually believe, one other side of my heart actually still believes that because we're in Nigeria. That's why I can say some things. Go to a country where, what do you used to call that your pastor in life? What's his name? Life Church. They call him, they call him maybe Andrew. You look at me. Old man like this with children. That's the culture. So we must set a template in such a way that the way I correct you in here in Nigeria is the way I'll correct you if I have to be in the U.S. running a church. That's the truth. A lot of correction we say our pastors do in Nigeria because we're in Nigeria. It's the truth. So that actually has a mix or a blend of culture. So conduct in the real sense, so actually even reflect in how we say certain things, how we do certain things. You know, one thing you must be careful of about, for instance, in God's palace is that no matter how close your head is, your leader, either your leader of any subunit you are in or your pastor. So in my communication of some things to correct, we must be careful as how not to go too far from God's word and start teaching the culture of where we find ourselves. I'm not going to come to church one morning and say, "Hello, before you greet me, come and lie down because I'm Yoruba man." I'm not going to do all of that. Yeah, because I know that if I go to, if I have to relocate, for instance, to the US with 5 of you, how will you feel if all of you are lying down? White man is saying, "Josh, you didn't go to Josh." And the fact that they call me Josh doesn't mean that I cannot minister to them. The fact that they call me Josh doesn't mean I cannot allow the power of God cannot flow through me from me to them. You know, but we have to be careful where we draw the culture. Do you understand? It is difficult for a Nigerian to go to a white man land and see a white man. And the way I wanted to scold Brauche, is that how to pray? It's difficult to do to a white man. I'm telling you. Am I lying? Difficult. So in my head, I'm like, why should I look at Brauche when I know that means I'm subconsciously belittling him because of his race? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm subconsciously putting him down without saying it. But my actions is clear. If I saw a white man, I was in the white church, I was the pastor leading, and I saw someone play with his phone, how will I communicate to him not to play his phone? Is it Brauche? What are you doing behind the pillar? Those are supposed to be praying. So there actually has to be balance. So in the real sense, it will require, that's why you realize even some stern instructions that Paul gave. You know, Paul knows who he was giving them to. Not when you join God's palace in less than 1 month, and I'm already scolding you like that. Paul knows who he was. Why was Paul correcting Corinthians like that? He founded the church in Corinth. He was their spiritual father. Do you understand? So definitely, time also will actually, you know, acquire and aid in some corrections, being straightforward. That, you see, there are some of you right now that should be able to correct, that should be able to correct sternly, and I'll not look at you twice. But I still rather take it easy. You know, realize that we're all growing and communicate the same thing I would have communicated better. If I was in a car driving any of you, for instance, you're making a phone, you're like, "Yeah, that's all you come, you do, that's all you do. If I'm supposed to respond to you, I might jump down from the car. Do you understand? But now that I've said it, have you not all learned it? Do you understand? In fact, if any of you were in the car when that has happened with somebody with me in the car, you might not even remember who has done it before. But I've brought correction already and the message has been passed. Are we together? So in the real sense, the answer to your question, which we have tried to answer by rigmaroling, is that let you, that is going to say whatever you're going to say as a correction, let your words be well seasoned. After all, you are not the person's spiritual father. After all, you are not the person's pastor. Now, we are not saying the fact that a believer cannot correct another believer. But we must put a lot of things into context. A lot of people don't like to be shouted on because they feel useless. Do you understand? Everyone don't like to be shouted. A lot of people don't like you to raise your voice on them. Speak all the English you can, but be calm. They will learn it. Because the moment you start shouting, they believe they are goats. And sometimes you can't even blame people that shout because it's the country. You'll be using AC. There's one of my colleagues that will drive me. We'll be using AC. Somebody is driving nonsense. He will wind down. He will wind down. He will say, they're supposed to flog your ear. They're supposed to flog your ear. Imagine the energy it requires to wind down your whole glass to the base. You're supposed to flog your road safety. And what are you driving? Sometimes you're in traffic. The person's car beside you is getting close to your car. Careful. And you look away. Be careful. And look away. Continue your going. You know, like mommy said, in all those things, that's where we say reflection of a believer's conduct. Even know me, a friend of mine said something to me. He said he has noticed that every time I drive, I never talk when I'm driving. No matter the rubbish you drive beside me, I never react. It's a deliberate, because I saw how my dad used to drive. Yeah, and it had a tendency of influencing me. Altogether. So I made a deliberate effort to say that no matter what happened, my dad grew up in Lagos, he knows about the Lagos life and all those. You know, in Lagos, you have to talk. Ah, no, you have to talk. Except you don't want to go get to your destination. You have to talk. No, Danfo is coming like this. Timba, just realize that you start acting like a tout. So the sanity in Nigeria is actually a good environment to actually learn believers' conduct by default. Road safety pack you. You say what now? Wait. Where does it stop? What are they? Are they not stopping you for to collect? You say what now? Your papers that are complete in your car. How do you know it's complete? Is it only goes? Is it word of knowledge? What? Yeah. Sometimes the thing used to almost all to enter, but they're like, but they're doing their job. I know their job can be over excessive sometimes, you know. But I just didn't realize that they're doing their job. You, sometimes I'm rushing somewhere. And they'll be pushing you, they'll be directing your car. Directing your car. You know, so what you just do, once you just see them, make your papers easily available. Present them and show them. Do you understand? So Nigeria as a country in itself doesn't make believers' love work easy. But you have to deliberately be deliberate. No matter how much you drive beside me, before I can talk to respond, it's always very difficult. Because when I started learning how to drive, I was there, but I said, no, I will not be shouting. Because when you look at it, you are inside your car, you're under AC, you are shouting. Who is hearing you? You are yourself. The person you are even trying to shake for, might not even notice you are even moving, you are even alive. You get hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let your believer's conduct reflect in how you approach, how you correct. There are some of you, some things you do instantly, I don't correct you on the other. You know, there are some things, for instance, I correct at the back. Not in front. And in the real sense, if you want to look at it, sometimes why I correct at the front of everyone is because everybody learns it instantly. For instance, let me show you an example. I'm going to use Bracky as an example. When Bracky, first of all, became active on the group chat, I will send message, Bracky will be doing thumbs up. Somebody will send another message, Bracky will use two hands of people shaking. I had to call Bracky. Did I call you or not? I called him and I said, brother, this is a church group chat. You don't use emojis to communicate what you are saying. Somebody will finish praying, you give thumbs up. If I had corrected him openly, everybody would have learnt it. But you won't believe that after I did to him, a week or two after, somebody else did the same thing. It's just cutting. That's not doctrine, no. Either to use emoji or not emoji, it's not doctrine. It's just basic cutting. So, like, clear, I've corrected it already. Abi? Yeah. No, it's different when you say, thank you, ma, thank you, sir, and you put love emoji. That's different. But somebody finished spirit, like, a 1 hour finished spirit. You just do what? It's just basic. Let's be the courtesy. Do you understand? After chat, after attending church meetings, when they say, can you hear, you respond. Obviously, not everybody needs to respond. Once five people have, or three, four people have responded, that's fine. When they finish the meeting, oh, thank you for the prayer. Thank you. We love you. This, it's just basic courtesy. Yeah? So sometimes, even in your correcting poor conduct, you will come from, you will correct it from a stem or from a position of pride. Yeah, just choosing your words with grace. You know, brother, you know this thing. How do you see this thing? This thing. At least let's keep doing it until a situation where you have become. Amen. Any other question? We have one more question. Beautiful. Give him the question. Let's. You know, when we have questions like this, times like this, we always extend.
Praise the Lord.
Brashego has a question too. We'll treat everything. Because from Wednesday, I'm teaching a series on concerning spirituals, tongue interpretation, prophecies, and all of that. So let's trash everything today. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Based on what you made mention of something, and mommy also did, which is helping people.
Okay.
So take, for example, someone comes to you for help, and the person painted a picture of life and death to help them. So you actually render that help to them, mm-hmm. and say a few hours later, you saw chilling things on social media.
You know what chilling things is? In fact, for those of us who are not that worldly, that's when you are flexing. Eh? I listen to you.
Yeah, so you felt like they made a fool out of you. Mm-hmm. So my question is, as a believer, I don't know if you've actually thought about that before, okay. but as a believer, when do you... Are you supposed to actually render help to people? Or when should you know when to render help to people? Is it when everybody just comes to you that they need help, that you render help to them? But basically, as a believer, when are you supposed to actually render?
So a good way I will answer that is this. What I do personally, you can sit down. What I do personally is this. It is never in my dictionary to borrow people money. My dictionary. For me to borrow you money, it means that, and you know, for anything, I'd rather not just borrow you so that when you don't pay, you don't spoil our relationship. Even people you even trust that you think will not disappoint, they will still disappoint, you know. But you have to also always believe the best of people. So what you can do is this. Think about it this way. If you did not have that money in your account to help that person, what would you have told the person? If you did not genuinely have the money. You know, a lot of times, the reason why we actually give some people certain things at certain situations is because we don't want them to say negative things about us. Meanwhile, in the real sense, even sometimes when you actually even give them, that's more, the more time they say negative things about you because they expect more from you. Yeah. So there is no way you can teach about when to give, when not to give. It's just as simple. If somebody should ask you for 10,000 naira, if it's 1,000 naira you can afford, give it. Also have it in mind that, oh, some people might also ask you next hour, next minute, next day, next year, next month, next week, sorry. Do you understand? So always have that back of your mind that you don't have to meet everybody's needs to the fullest if it is not convenient for you. So you wake up tomorrow and somebody says, give me 5,000, brother. On Wednesday, somebody says, give me 3,000. Next, that's why some people leave some churches because some people among the church members are always putting pressure on them. Please, don't let that be your case in God's palace. Don't be one always known by people that, anytime I see your phone call, you start asking, the other one you borrow. Yeah, I gave an example to somebody. I said something while I was working. Somebody reached out to me, maybe last year, January or something. And she's one of the people that worked, you know. And she said her mother had a health challenge that she wanted to borrow money from me. Yeah? How much was the money? She said she needed 10,000 naira. I had 10,000 naira to spare. Yeah, she wanted to borrow. I gave her the money, January 2020, last year. You know? Or December 2019, I gave her the money. You know? She said once she got... collect her salary, she will pay me back. Don't bother about it, sir. She will pay me back everything. I listen to her. In my head, any money I give out is not the money I ever expect. Did you get that? Yeah, any money you give out, any money I give out personally, is not the money I expect. Either you say you want to pay back or not. As I've given it, it has gone. It doesn't come back. I don't hurt myself. Although there are specific situations. So she asked for the money. I gave it to her. January salary came. I know when they pay salary. She didn't say anything about it. After that time, I made sure I dashed her money severally. You know. This last December, 1 year after, she came and met me again. Her mother has an issue, health issue. You know. And everything. I said, sir, if you just borrow me, I'll give you back. I know what I told her. I felt told her. I said, come. when you don't have a plan to pay people back their money, don't tell them borrow me. Tell them this is my issue. What can you help me with? I said, do you remember that you said you were going to pay him back in December? If you, let us see that condemnation. Do you remember going to pay him back money? You know, and she acted like she didn't remember. How can you not remember that somebody gave 10,000? Do you understand? I said, don't worry, sir. Don't worry, sir. I said, come. We're not done yet. Come. Eh? When you want to collect money, you need help. Reach out to people and say, people, what can you help me with? Gather yourself together. So you, at the end of the day, when the issue is sorted or not sorted, you don't have people you are owing. Just help me. Anyone you have, manage, anything you can do, do. I said, don't worry, I'll ask another person. I said, that's not the point. You've missed the point. I said, this is what you should do. This is what you should do. You know, you said it's a health challenge. Do you understand? So I'm not going to raise a, I'm not going to be pushing you. So I told her, I said, if you had brought the 10,000 naira, honestly to my mind, when I gave the money, I wasn't going to collect it. But I just remember that, let it not be a custom every December. Christmas. Your mother always has health issue December. And I told her, I said, I don't have cash with me. She said, what do you do? She said, don't worry. I said, what's your account number? Send me your account number. I said, what another person will do because of experience? What would they say? Give me the account number of your doctor. Anna, what's it now? Give me the account number of, well, somebody had an issue like that, the man, I like the man. He said, give me the account number of the hospital. Not the doctor, the hospital. And he paid, because people are always, people use their parents who are dead to collect money. You are laughing. Someone that has died 10 years ago, my dad is on the wheelchair. Because, you see, at that point in time, you cannot, nothing can happen. You know, sometimes, if your dad is still alive, and you are saying he's on the wheelchair, someone in your heart, you'll be scared that, what if as I'm saying it, he now turns on the wheelchair. But now he's dead, with your full chest. Because, I mean, my dad is on the wheelchair, they say he has to do surgery, and the man said, give me the account, phone number of the doctor. He said, let the doctor call my lawyer. When the doctor now called his lawyer, now collected the bill on the hospital A4 paper, what do you call it? Letterhead. And now collected the official account of the hospital and paid it in. And he paid everything. But you don't blame that kind of man. He has experienced a lot. Yeah. So when people begin to come, and people will always come. So you see the example he gave. You said somebody is going into life and death issue. The next few hours, chilling things. You are in the place. You don't even go and buy chicken bubbly combo. You went to the place. You went to House 43. Chilling things. I did not put it on a DP. That's why there are a lot of those things. Well, you can't teach that from scriptures. But don't be one that everybody can trace where you are by your post. We're about to enter the plane. You view that one. As soon as the plane is about to go, you view outside. I don't know why these pilots are this way. After you finish, you have video, everybody says, everyone is well seated with their seatbelts. Right now, we're about to take off. Yeah? Once you land at the funeral, Lagos, we arrive. Bang! Video. I feel like I prefer the service in Abuja than Lagos. Why? Uber, come and pick you. I prefer Uber to boat. No, don't be one who is... Some people say they are vloggers. What do you call them? It's not vloggers. And they want to video a day in my life. Let me not laugh at the people today. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with videoing a day in your life, but you know, I want to video a day in my life. I want to video. You know, I wake up. You know, I see them with a camera behind it. They will brush it. You are the one that set the camera close to your bed, and you're acting like you're just waking up. you are the camera close to your bed. You lie on the bed. You close your eyes. What I do in the morning, you put the camera there, you are the same person that lay your bed, you are the same person that go and kneel there and say, I just woke up. I'm just joking, but really, you know, all those things. There's some people do it with the purpose of how, yeah, but the point is this, yeah, you know, always make sure that you are one who, I think as a Christian, we should be more conservative. Is that the word? Be more of a conservative, don't be too lousy, don't be too open. Let people think of you as a fool before, then you not, how do you say it? Let people assume you are a fool, so that when you open your mouth, you will not shock them, okay? How do you say something like that, yeah? Just be very reserved, because don't be too forward. There's a difference between being confident and being too forward. Don't be too forward. Be relaxed. A step back. You know, always observe, monitor this, that, observe, and all those kinds of things. So when you're dealing with people, for instance, back to his question, when you're dealing with people like that, you need to, when you're dealing with people generally, have that back of your mind that what happens if I give, I give. So even if it is that you make up your mind that everybody that, so you have two ways. You can either wake up one morning on a Monday morning on the 1st of March and say that, oh, throughout this month, I'm going to give out to people who ask me money, nothing more than 20,000 naira. You can also wake up 1st of March and say that throughout this month, I'm going to make sure that no matter what anybody asks me for, I will give out the little I can afford. Do you understand that? Yeah, but really in life, people will always make a fool out of you, want to make a fool out of you. But you must never, you must always be generous, always walk in love and all of that. Does that answer your question? You sure? Brad, Shegun, quickly. You have another question?
Praise the Lord.
Okay, want to say something? Okay, before you ask a question, let her just say something.
So you said something about someone asking you for money and then later you saw his status, Abby, that he's chilling. Now, one thing I have understood about social media is that not everything you see is actually what is happening.
They are chilling.
Oh, okay. Except if you are 100% sure that the money you gave, okay. But if you are not 100% sure, exactly. Someone else can take that same person to go and chill. The person might be going through hard times, but the person will not shade, because that's how I have come to understand people actually roll. Like, I have friends, they may be going through hard times. Yeah, you will not know, except in the same house with them. But if you follow them on social media and they are living the life.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I know social media is a very fake life nowadays.
Exactly.
So, but his own case is that he is 100% sure that it's your money that is feeding, that is where that's making them cheat.
For example,
he calls you to tell you that, sorry, Brian,
hospital or something, and he's sick. Do you get
like, no, but the person is not too corny now.
Yeah, like he's not really boxed up
to pay his bills. And the next thing is that he's chilling. And what if he's posted a picture from time past?
No, and after seeing the post, you actually ask him the question, thanks for the money.
that person has mind. There are people like that, actually. There are people like that. But another thing again, you should also look at it. When you help somebody, don't bother about what is the money you have that you do. That's another way to look at it. Just know that you fulfill God's word. You've been generous. You've given it. Let it go. Anything they want to do, they should use it. They want to use it and buy anything. That's fine. For instance, you have people who are addictive to nicotine and smoking, for instance, and they can lie any lie just to buy cigarettes. Yeah, what that I know daddy has done an example with somebody. When he say he wants to buy, what daddy does is that you buy food for the person and give him the food. Maybe it's food you say you want to buy. And give it to him. You know, but people can still be corny and go and resell the food. I buy nicotine. Again. But once you do good, let it be an end. Just don't bother about either they chill or they don't chill. Just do your part, let it be. Yeah, as long as you don't, yeah. Brush it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We all believe that believer conduct is about walk in love. But assuming maybe you are in an office, it happens that you are a leader of the, you are the head of the section,
uh-huh.
And one of your maybe someone under you called you and said that he felt sick. And you send money to that the same person.
Uh-huh.
The person spent a whole month without coming to the work
office.
And without coming to the office. And you are now doing his work and your work together,
uh-huh,
for the whole month.
Uh-huh.
The second month, maybe the second month there was a very voluminous work, and I need to call him say, sir, we have much work in the office. Please, can you come? He said, no, I can't come to the office now. What of if, he said, what of if he died last January that he can't come to work? But I said, but I sent money to you and we were complicated. You said you are all right. Why don't you come to the office now?
Mm.
He said, no, that for now he will not be in the office, though, that if he died now, that the government work will continue, that mm-hmm. another person will take the work. Mm-hmm. And this work was, and another person again, happens to be the man's friend, came to meet me, said, ah, Mr. Shegu, people believe that you are a very nice man. This man, first sick, January, you cannot afford to go and check him. I said, Oga, what are you saying? But did your friend told you that I sent money to him? He said yes. But he said, but you still need to go and check on him mm-hmm. rather than calling him to come to work, sir. You see, human being, at times if you give them a step, by the time you look back, they will count 10. how can person?
What is your question exactly?
Yes, how because that what I'm saying that.
No, understand what you're saying, eh? What is the question?
How can person
okay, how to deal in that situation. Does anybody want to say something about that? Nobody? Okay. Anybody? Okay. Yeah, so really, it's a very delicate place to be. And I want to believe that if that work is not now done, it will now bounce back on your head.
Yes.
Because he is on leave. You cannot really do so much about that.
No, it's not on leave. It's not on leave.
He's on sick leave now. He just decided not to come to work.
And he's an old man.
Okay, he's older than you.
Yeah, Papa. He's collecting every month.
So is there a ten? Is he ahead of you or ahead of him in hierarchy?
I'm ahead of him.
So you're
almost 3 years posted.
And so you are the one. You are the one to call him to order now. So I think your fear is, I think your question is really, can a Christian, can we report?
Yes.
As a Christian, should we report?
Yes.
You're being paid for that! Hold on, no. That he's being paid for his work and he's not doing his work and you're aligning it to slide. It's not love work. Exactly. It's not love work. Listen, if you are sure, in fact, reporting him is the love work. Because you are wanting him to do what he's being paid for. So you cannot say, how do I undo it? I don't want to. No. See, no matter, look at it. Think about it. For the first time, you gave him money. Yeah, people said evil things about you. No. People said that you didn't go and check up on him now.
Yes, yes.
Abi? So it means that no matter what you actually do to actually make everything be happy, people will still talk about you. And they will say negative things about you. You worked, you labored, they paid your salary, you sent money from your salary to him. Yeah, somebody is saying, why can't you go and check on him? You don't even care about him. Imagine if you didn't even send money. So, if you look at it from the angle that no matter what you do or don't do, people will still keep talking. When it comes to an assignment, the work, if you know that work, if it's not done, it bounces back on you. It is in your rightful position to take a legal stand or a formal stand about him, against him. Write the petition. Now, even if you don't want to say, you might not write the petition and I'll say, I know it's not sequel. I just know he's not coming to work. You can decide to say something like, oh, this work I have to do, this is the person. I don't know. You can really, exactly. So you can really say that, oh, this work I'm supposed to do, I cannot do it because this person is not here. The work has come so much on my head. Or you can even ask your superior, what should I do? As a believer, giving someone a query for not doing what is supposed to be done is not wrong. You should have different if you're doing it for free, volunteering. You have a question? Is it a question?
No.
Is to add to that? Okay. Beyond is a question. So after Sister Rose, we'll round up teaching for today.
No, what I just wanted to say basically is I wanted to just ask a question with respect to, like, what does the company policy say about stuff like that? Okay. I know why I'm asking this question, okay, because to a very large extent, it's just like the rules, constitution of a country.
Perpetual absentee on work is dismissal.
I don't see anything wrong. I don't see anything wrong if you follow the books of the organization. Okay? You report this is what is happening. You have somebody above you. And then it follows due process. If you try communicating the person and the person is not doing what the person ought to do, guess what? That person is a fraud. Because you're frauding the company. If it's my own company and I notice you're not coming to work, how would you feel? How about? It's true. You're collecting money that you're not working for. It doesn't make sense. So you need to confirm, first of all, that the person is actually really sick and down.
But as I told you, he's not.
He told me, and I sent money to him.
And he's now fine.
I started calling. He said that he's fine. He said he was fine. That nothing
It's government. Anybody, if it's government, doesn't change the fact that what should be done should be done. Because they don't monitor his room and. Or to come and break your leg at home. You see why I say the country doesn't even help believers love, work, or conduct. It is well. But you should just, even if it's not dismissal, but maybe you should just do what you need to do in reference to query or something. I don't even see no sense. But I want to look at it from this point of view. If you're the owner of the company and you found out someone was doing like that, how would you feel? It's different from government cake, man. True. Very different. It is well, though. You should pray for the person to do what? You see, I'm the one that knows he's not coming to work.
No.
Yeah, so if he doesn't.
Even some of those that know that he does, you are the one that telling me that I'm supposed to go and check on him.
So that's fine. If you do a query, it doesn't have to come back to you, since everybody knows he's not coming to work. So it could have been anybody that sent it.
But when you do a query, I'm not the one that will sign yours faithfully. He's just faithfully. He'll still be on him now. Because what that man will want to do is to go and find out who actually gave the query. If it's done as a form, just fill. Don't write the person that is querying. Just write the person that has to be queried. But at the end of the day, you're the one that writes yours in government or something like that. And sign and put your date. It will still come back to him. Brother, Sister Rose.
Okay. My question is with regards to relating and the restoration of loss of relationships. Let me not say lost relationship. Someone once told me that a proof that you've forgiven someone is that, you know, a relationship is restored back to what it was. But there was an experience I had last year where that has affected the way I perceive a believer, such that
believers generally.
A particular believer. Yes.
Okay.
So I see it hurts, right? Like I see his post and I see him saying things about God and it disgusts me. And that is because, and it's a very serious case because, you know, as a teenager, we trusted this person and the ministry was founded on, let me just mention the scenario, sexual purity, right? Uh-huh. And for years, he was a mentor and people looked up to him. 2017, I heard a scandal and I approached him and the response was, why will you even listen to that in the first place? And then eventually it got to the point where it trended on Twitter that this person was doing this. And then a lot of people started speaking up. So this thing was happening for years, right? And I've forgiven him, God knows. But
why did you have to forgive him? Did he have anything to do with you? Let me say it better. That sexual thing that I was trending for, is that what you said you're forgiving him for?
He came to ask for forgiveness, right?
Okay.
And I have forgiven. It wasn't
it wasn't about you.
Yes, it was about the trust that was broken.
Okay.
Yes, I have forgiven. Mm-hmm. But how can you... Because you know that this person, I don't even know. Like, it's not that I know that the reason we are believers is because
we are saved by believing the gospel.
We confess, we believe the gospel. Mm. I doubt this person is a believer. Mm. Because it's a consistent thing that happened for over 7 years. you know, and you were teaching against this thing on the altar, and you were doing it right after the. There is no, you know, it beats me. Like, it's hard. How, you know, it's. The person is a believer.
Just speak in tongues and interpret it.
No, this is difficult because even yesterday when I saw him on Instagram, it was still difficult. You know, it still hurts. Do you understand? So it's actually very, like, I just decided to ask the question and not just leave it there. And it feels like it doesn't have an answer. Like, right, it's just something I should ignore.
So what is your question?
My question is, am I wrong for doubting this, if this person is a believer? Am I wrong for feeling that this person is, maybe, I don't know if I'm feeling he's undeserving of the forgive and forget thing, right? I'm not saying he's undeserving of forgiveness, but do you get?
I guess what you're trying to say. So in the real sense, after that trending and everything, has he continued doing that, those things he was doing?
There's no way to know. Now, this is why I'm saying there's no way to know. Each of those times it happened in the previous years, he apologized to some of them. And it happened again. And his wife knew about it. So I don't know I cannot believe that he will not do it again. Do you get?
No. You see, as a believer, you must, that's why you're a believer. You must believe the best of. Do you understand? Let me tell you, you will meet terrible people in this life. Even bishops and pastors and archbishops. The scandals would always come. Either scandals that are true or scandals that are not true. Let's come on. But now, you know that. Let me give you an angle to look at it from. If peradventure, they are playing a game. I'm not saying this was happening. Imagine they are playing a game such that he asked those people to come out to say it against him so that he can trend. And the real sense, I'm just saying it, and the real sense, nothing of those things happened. If you now realize, remember, anytime you did anything with those people, you are not there.
No, I know these people personally. I know the victims.
Hold on. It's not a matter of growing up together. When it comes to publicity and things people can do for fame, people can go to the extreme. I've seen people hook up stories. Even in the last year, I know one who hooked up a story so that he can trend, then so that the person can come back and apologize for lying about him. Do you understand? Imagine someone wakes up and I said, Sister Pleasant, just put the story out there and just say that, oh, I was molesting you and all of those things. Yeah. After you now put it on trend, she with her own account and her own hand will write and said, I was used by the devil. I'm not saying this is the case of this, but I just don't want us to close our hearts to that place. So I can tell her to do it so that God's Palace will trend. So for the first two weeks, everybody's saying, God's Palace pastor, he's a rapist, he's a this, he's a that. After 3 weeks, the president will come out and say, I'm actually see here. I swear on my name, I swear on my father's grave and everything. I was just lying. I'm already popular. So in the real sense, people will now actually move closer to me because it will look like I'm facing persecution and God stood with me. You are a true man of God. Yeah, but in the real sense, if at the end of the day, these people you actually knew, yeah, well, I'm not saying that. I'm trying to put your attention somewhere. If you find out that it wasn't true, how would you feel about how you've been feeling all true? In your mind, why this question is difficult for you to answer? Because in your mind, you're like, I can never find out that it's not true.
It's
not what I'm saying. Hold on. I know it is facts too.
I know that. I don't want, like, people you have personal relationships. It's just like somebody, my younger sister cannot, for example, come and tell me. I mean, even the assistant pastor's younger, so we know it is true.
Nobody has disputed that fact, right? Eh? Sister
so
Rose, it's true. Okay, let's take it a step at the fact. Number one fact, Sister Rose, it is true.
Yes.
Beautiful. True. We have stated it too. Yes. Don't go back and tell me it is not true. It is true. We have stated it. Number one, Sister Rose, it is true. Right? We have stated that fact. Let's assume. You say I'm louder in that one. Let's assume. I want you to actually see something. Let's assume for any instance. How would you feel if you find out? Not remember, we said it is true. I didn't say how will you feel when you find out it's not true. Do you understand? So I said it is true already. How will you feel if you find out it is not true? How will you feel about the hatred you've had backwards? You know, you feel very. That's the point. Do you understand? So in the real sense, you are supposed to look at situations like this from an angle of, okay, am I over the bar? Will I feel stupid for what I'm doing right now in case I'm wrong? Now, a good way to do that is actually to now guide your circle or your heart or your space against that person. So there is nothing ungodly about muting and blocking if it requires. Because where you're standing right now, it is that the more you keep seeing this brother do this thing, or the brother keep living a normal life in quotes, is the more it gets to you. So what do? For your sanity's sake, you have a mute. It's godly to mute and block some people. After church, I can show you my phone. On my WhatsApp status, one day I took out time to count. There are nothing less than 350 people I have blocked. My WhatsApp status alone. If you go to my Instagram, people in their number. Once you just say a lot, once you say this, I say that, I say that. I'm not, because I'm trying to guide my own space, my own sanity, you know, and I'm not going into details of all those things. But for your good, because if you keep saying it, nothing can be done with the way you are right now. So what we are doing is we are trying to give you space to heal well. Do you understand? Yeah, in your mind, you're forgiving. There's nothing that says you've not forgiven. There's no law that says forgive and forget. You don't have brain memory. You don't have brain problem. The only way you can forget some situations is that they reset your brain. When you forgive, it means that when you ask, you must not wish for the downfall of that man. That's to show you forgiving. So it means that you will not just wake up and say, I just wish that the ground just open and swallow this man. If you still have that nudge about him, you've not forgiven him. Forgiving is not just say, I forgive you. No. If you still wish him evil, you still wish him that, oh, it's just for...
If you wish that the person should go to prison...
That is where the law of the country now comes in. You know, some people. It's a very tricky one because it's a threat. So if it's a threat to young girls, it's advisable for the law to take up responsibility. So the person that might be in the law, that might take arrest, might be a believer, but he's taking up the responsibility from the angle of the law. Is that clear? Did you get Sister Rose? Yeah. So if, for instance, you are a believer, it means that you can take up that case as a lawyer. You are doing what the books of the law say. A situation like this are always very difficult. And what makes it difficult is because a lot of times people think that what we say is because we are not physically in a position. You know, like I would say, there's never a time walking in love can because that's wrong. Do you understand? There's never a time walking in love can be as wrong. You know, for instance, I see this example of the woman that wanted stone. You know, caught in the act of adultery and everything, and all those kind of things. You know, so in the real sense, as long as you cannot go to the scriptures where you see Paul looked at somebody that was doing something terrible and was clamoring for the law to take a stand on him. If you cannot do that, there's no point having the conversation because I will just teach extra biblical. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If we are saying we're a New Testament church, it means that New Testament must set a template of what we do. If we don't have an example of someone who did something terrible, and Paul or Peter said, you, lawyer, go and arrest him. So it means that... So do you actually believe that in those days of Paul and Peter, they might have had situations as similar as this? So the moment, if I'm not careful, I will go extra Bible and teach what the world doesn't teach. Do you understand? It is well. For a country that works, that the law is in place, this should not even be a conversation we should have. Do you understand? Because the law will do what they are supposed to do for a country that works. But Nigeria is so pathetic. It's so pathetic. So it's very dicey and tricky. It is well. Any other question? You wanted to ask a question? We're good. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesse. Wow, this is 12:15. And mom said we're enjoying it because the AC is working. All right, let's collect our contribution for the AC diesel. Yeah, thank you so much. And Sister Esther, please come give us the announcement